With the Quicksilver card from Capital One, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase. Unlimited? Unlimited? Unlimited! Unlimited!
Unlimited!
Any way you say it, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase just sounds good. Capital One, what's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
Dream Champs Radio.
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, Hank Sangria, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
What it could be, hopefully, is what it should be. It's your boy N.R.E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
I forgot to name myself.
You want to start
shit
over?
Yeah, no. Fuck that. Leave it. So, yeah, we're getting straight to this intro. This is a very great interview for us because, guys, very relevant to the times that's happening right now.
Brought it back to the South.
And this is the first South only.
Second, Cumberland.
Well, no, but it's first South only because that's
just like, only. Yeah, you're right. Correct.
So, I'm proud of this episode. I knew the guy since he was Titty Boy. I knew the guy even before that.
DTP and all that.
But before we get to the 2 Chainz episode, I wanted to recap real quick the other 2 episodes that we didn't get a chance to recap.
Right.
KRS-One first. I know a lot of people are giving him backlash for what transpired. And what people need to know is, like, I felt
why don't you explain it a little bit for people who may not have heard it?
Well, you know, I asked KRS a question, and he answered it, but it wasn't the answer that people wanted.
About the Bambaataa thing,
you know what I'm saying? And in all due respect to KRS-One, I can't blame it on the alcohol or anything like that. I kind of changed the subject, you know what I'm saying? Because the subject got uncomfortable for me. I feel like everybody else feels like we wanted a better answer. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get the better answer, and I didn't want to sit there and just, you know, keep talking about this. You know what I'm saying? I love KRS. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to move on. You know what I mean? So I got to give him his props because it wasn't, you know, we're in control of these interviews. You know what I'm saying? I'm an expert in changing the subject when we don't want to dwell on something. So I just want people to know that, you know, in his respect, you know what I mean?
And everybody knows, the fans, listeners know, we cut people off.
Right, and so, we're not political on this place.
Right, this is like, not a regular Q&A.
Yeah, so with that being said, also, I want to touch on the Myth Bleak episode. I thought it got great responses.
Yeah, that was dope.
You know what I'm saying? Dame Dash.
Shout out to Dame Dash.
He's sending me some whiskey. He's sending me some Riesling as well. Dusko, pop it in. What's going on?
Dope.
We need you on the show.
Yeah, we definitely need you.
We need somebody from Dipset. The closest one that I feel like I can reach is Jim Jones.
Yeah.
So if you guys are out there, hit up Jim Jones and let him know the Drink Champs.
I heard he was already down.
Yeah, he's already down. But I like people to feel like it's not just us who want you on. This is a public show. This is a, you know what I mean? It's a public show.
The
masses
want
you on
to hear it.
And then the big announcement. Now it's time to pop the bottle, Sonny. Come on, get your life together.
Let's go. Come on.
And a big announcement.
Drum roll.
People been asking me. They've been saying, what the fuck are you doing with this food show? What's going on with this goddamn food show? Did you fuck it? Come on, let's keep the drum roll going. Did you stare us the wrong way, N.R.E.? Did you tell us it's a food show, that it doesn't exist? What I am proud to announce, if you follow me on Instagram, you seem to be posted House of Mac, because my guy Chef Teach. And I am proud to announce that the pilot has been shot. And this is the first time I'm ever announcing this, ever, anywhere publicly. It is with MTV2. Make some noise!
Make some motherfucking noise!
So if you're a fan of what I've been promoting about the drink, the food show, I need you to hit up MTV, tell them thank you, but tell them the MTV2, excuse me, let me be, what is that called, Pacific? Or Pacific?
Specific.
Oh,
yeah.
Specific. I thought you said MTV Pacific.
MTV 2?
West Coast MTV?
Salute, everybody. Salute, man.
Salute.
Congratulations to everybody.
Shout out to Sonny D.
But
we got
please,
Sonny D.
Hit up MTV 2 every day on that Twitter, on that Instagram. Salute. Tell them you want to see Now We On The Run Eating, or On The Run Eating. We forgot what we actually called it. We filmed the actual pilot. I want to thank you guys for not only being there, helping out, participating. No, Has birthday has just passed, correct?
Happy birthday, Has.
Happy birthday.
Celebrate your birthday today,
thank you,
too.
Thank you.
So please, everybody hit up MTV2. Let them know how important it is to see the Drink Champs on that food show. We filmed the first pilot in Miami. We had a ball. We're going to big up all the restaurants. We don't want to big it up now because then you'll be thinking, by the time you see it, be like, oh, this, it's old. So we're going to big up the restaurants then. But MTV2, we want to thank you for that opportunity. You know what I mean? And it's going down.
And that's just tough. The fans like the show, like they like the show right now that we're doing. They're going to love the TV show.
The TV show. Because we're just doing
it
on TV.
Sometimes you forgot you were doing a TV show.
That's
you
right.
were saying, make some noise.
I was saying, make some noise. That's a fact. So, we're going to get into this 2 Chainz episode. Again, fans, man, we appreciate you so much. Hit up MTV2. Let them know that you want to see. Now we're on the Run E, or on the Run E with NRE and the Drink Champs. Also, hit up Jim Jones. We want Jim Jones a part of the show. And we spoke about KRS. So I guess let's get into this 2
Chainz. Also, hit up at Play It and CBS Radio. Let them know
Play
how much.
It.
Hey,
yes.
Subscribe on iTunes. Review us. Mm-hmm. Rate us. Let people know you enjoying the show, man.
That's right.
We love
man.
The feedback at Drink Champs.
That's right, man. So let's we're gonna get into 2 Chainz. He was leaned out. This
he
is
was
a fact.
Leaned the
he
fuck
was
out.
Leaned.
He was having a good time.
He had a great
that's
time.
That's the first time I've seen lean like that.
I guess he knew it was the Drink Champs. He said, man, them niggas ain't gonna get
he's
me.
The lean champ.
Yeah, I was trying to get him to take shots, everything, it didn't work out. See, you never could let a guy who's not a champagne guy pour the champagne because they pour it like that. You gotta pour it like you in France. So let's get into this 2 Chainz episode, Mount Falls. Let's do it. Bangata.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper NORE and DJ EFN.
Hey, hey, Sangria, hope you're savvy. This is your boy, N-O-R-E.
What up, this is DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Champs motherfucking podcast.
Make some fucking noise!
And I don't know if he's ever been called this. I got who I think is the new king of the South. He's been so consecutive. He's been staying in your face. He's been stomping you on features. He's been stomping you. He's the only person that figured out that we've been spending so much money on Christmas, he figured out how to get rich off of Christmas. No motherfucking, my friend, I knew him since he had a different name, but I'm calling him, I don't call him that in his face, but I'm calling him in his face, the new king of the South to me. That's my personal opinion. Motherfucking 2 Chainz in the building, make some noise! Chainz, man, I'm so honored to have you in the building. I knew you for years, man. You never changed on me. We always kept it tight. You kept it real. But how did you figure out how to get rich off of Christmas? CEO talk.
Yeah, just CEO to CEO. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a lot of swings and misses in the mm-hmm. past as far as merchandise and trying to capitalize off merchandise and capitalize mm-hmm. off my success and merchandise at the same time. Mm-hmm. I created a bunch of different T-shirts, try to test them out online, mm-hmm. test them out with people's opinion. Mm. One of my best-selling T-shirts was the ones that had the 2 Chainz on them that other mm. brands and people started using.
That was a promo at first. Def Jam put that out. Okay, okay.
Yeah, but it was my idea the whole time. I always had this idea of having a shirt
bootleg
with 2
like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bootleg. And then fashion people started using chains in their clothes and everything. Yeah. So a lot of times with me, I shy away from something that I won't say I started, but some of the things that I maybe, you know, started back up or began, I kind of like, I don't want people to, you know, because today it'll make it seem like you biting, and it'll make it seem like you took this idea.
They so flip it on you.
Yeah, I'm starting to see Versace and all these different things.
Did
like
Santa
change.
Ever hit you off for publishing?
Santa. Mr. Claus.
Did Santa try to?
Santa didn't. He should have because I ran up some bands on.
Because technically, nobody owns Santa though, right?
Right. That was perfectly
trademark
legal.
Trademark Santa Claus.
Just think about it. Can you trademark Santa Claus? Because think about it. Like it's a holiday. Nobody owns the holiday, and mm-hmm. you figured that out.
Put them chains on some ugly sweaters. Incorporated that dab movement with the Santa. Ran up a couple M's.
And you was doing pop-up shops with it, all type of things, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the culture right now. You have to ride the wave. A lot of the times with artists, a lot of times with artists and people that's been in the game so long, they want to stay on what they on. Like, this is what it is, even though it worked for them before. And with me, I keep the youth around. I surround myself with new creative vibes, and you got to know that the pop, like, urgency and impulse is in style right now. Like, like tomorrow or right tonight, doing something so urgent is what's going on with kids because their attention span is so short. You have to be able to entertain them, you know, within a 6 second or a 15 seconds.
Yep, exactly. Have you learned the when to, like, pull back when you see, like, okay, it's over those 6 seconds?
For me, for any artist right now, with the short attention span of a fan base, you have to consistently do stuff. So you can't really pull back. Once you pull back, somebody can easily slide in that space because they're
well, I meant merch wise. Like, if you see, like, something's hot, like, okay.
Merch is something that you have to learn. It's education. Like, people think you just come up with a successful thing. You have to really read. You have to study the game, and then you have to capitalize off of it. You have to just, when you come up with these ideas, like people have, I don't think people follow through with their ideas.
Right.
And with me, once you get a team that's put together and everybody knows their role and what lane they're going to run, and me being the point guard, being able to throw alley-oops and catch the dunk at the same time, but being a team player, it's easy to get shit done.
And you deal with all the way going back to manufacturing? Do you deal with the whole process?
I deal with everything, man. I'm so hands-on, it don't make any sense.
Because I manage a band, a group that's signed to Strange Music, Tech N9ne, and their merch game is bananas.
Yeah, and that's somebody that I learned from earlier. You heard about what he was doing with factories and warehouses and capitalizing up his merch. And he was somebody that never really threw it in your face. And that's kind of how I'm moving about with my brands.
Right. And then how did you come up with the CEO?
Yeah, CEO was another thing that I felt like was very urgent. You know what I'm saying? God basically sent me this idea because after Dabbing Santa, I was like, we're going to have to do like a line for real. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and is that the name of the line?
Yeah, it's CEO Millionaires. It means creating every opportunity.
You know why I like that? It's because even if you intern put this on, it gives them a sense of empowerment.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely. So I actually noticed the CEO shirts and I think the hats, even before I knew you was affiliated with it. Okay. But when I knew that was yours, I was like, he's thinking, because that's what we need in our communities is something that you can look forward to. You know what I'm saying? So if you're a maintenance man and you put on a CEO shirt, you're going to spit back and be like, well, that's how you feel for that day. So let's make some noise for that, goddammit.
Everybody's a CEO.
So 2 Chainz, he's so smooth. We're going to get him to open up. So let's take it back to the how did you first get in the game? This was DTP, you was directly?
I was signed to Luda at first, Disturbing the Peace. I was signing them for roughly, probably almost a dime, probably almost 10 years. You know, as Titty Boy, so 2 Chainz has more of a meaning besides me just wearing 2 Chainz. It means like this is
the second.
Yeah, like my persona, second chance, you know what I'm saying? One chain for who I am, the second chain for who I want to be, or you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing like that. But just coming in the game with Luda, he was from College Park, Southside, you know what I'm saying, where I'm from. He was a radio personality for people who don't really know his story. Right. I was somebody
Chris Lover.
Yeah. Him and this guy named Poon Daddy, who I was really cool with from L.A. They was in Atlanta, like, making noise, you know what I'm saying? I was somebody that was very popular through sports and hustling. That's why I was popular. And I wasn't someone that just went around and kind of wore rapper on my sleeve. Like, you know, early in the days, you knew a rapper was a rapper because he, you know, he wore his clothes backwards you know, got extra in ciphers. Yeah, he was a... And I was someone that just was entertained by watching that, you know what I'm saying? Right. And never really knew that this was a skill set of mine. I just knew that I was meant to entertain people. Mm. You know what I'm saying? In my earlier days, like when I was a basketball star, whatever you want to call it, anytime I had the ball, I realized that's when everybody would look at me. So I ain't want to not have the ball.
Right.
So it's the same concept with holding a microphone. I feel like anytime I got the mic, I got people's attention.
Right.
I started kicking moves with Luda. He signed me, you know what I'm saying?
What years
I learned a lot. This is probably like 03 or something like that, 04. Right. I learned a lot from being under his wing, Shaka Zulu and their whole camp.
Shout out to Shaka.
You know what I'm saying? His management was like a New York-based guys where hip-hop started, you know what I'm saying? They had a lot of knowledge. And right. I met Nori, like, through them a long time.
So let me ask, so what was the moment where you was like, this is not going to work, and you stood on your own? Like, was you confident in that moment? Or yeah. Because these guys were steaming hot.
Yeah.
And you stepped away. What was
well,
that
yeah,
like?
Well, I've always been highly confident in myself and my talents. And it was just something that, I don't know, it's just something that didn't feel, it didn't feel right. Like, I would come in clubs and you know, if I came in with the whole crew, he would get a certain amount of attention, and I would too, because I had kind of like paid my dues as far as paving the way for myself, as far as being, you know, some man that was a legendary guy who was out here really hustling bags or doing what people may yap about on albums. Like, people know, like, I would be on the road doing shows for Duffel Bag Boys and come back and pick up, you know, I would go out there and make 500 or something, 1,000 a show, but come back and pick up like 20 bands because I done left some in the hood.
Let's make some noise for that, goddamn it. Yeah. Let's make some noise for that. That grind is real right there. That grind is real. So, like, your first official, like, single on your own was I'm Riding Out and I'm Getting It, that really went national headline. Like, how did that moment feel? Because for me, I knew about you. I've been telling people about you forever, but that was like your first breakout single. I remember being in Atlanta in a strip club and it just coming on and everybody going crazy. Like, what was that moment? Was that the moment where you knew that you made the right decision?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Like, when I did Duffel Bag Boys, which was before that, that gave me that feeling. A lot of people received it well. Wang was the hottest dude in the world. He did the hook for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He just did the hook because he was feeling where I was coming from on other songs. It gave me a breakthrough. It gave me that feeling. So although I was going on the road and not receiving a lot of money, I was receiving experience. I was learning how to do radio. I was learning how to do drops, things that artists take for granted these days. Small stuff. You get artists at the radio station, they'll be there for two weeks doing drops.
He did. When they did the duffel bag, y'all did the intros for the DJs.
Yeah, oh,
I got
my God.
One of those. I got one.
Oh my God, I did like 200 remixes.
I was going to bring the CD and shit. Look, I got the joke.
Because at this time, you're so hungry. You want to get on so bad, like like a lot of times we get that little thing of success, and we kind of be like, I don't have to do that no more. You know what I'm saying? But it was important to do it because you still remembered it. So I don't feel like it went in vain. Back then, I used to be like, man, this don't even mean. You know,
it
what
all
I'm saying?
Adds up.
Yeah,
it
adds up. So you know, that's always a sweet feeling. You know what I'm saying? So when I got that success with Wayne with Duffel Bag Boys, I was able to actually go on tour with him and perform it in front of, you know, arenas.
Right.
And so watching his work ethic, watching what he does, you know, on and off the stage and owning a studio in Atlanta and not really taking advantage of the studio that I had. I was more or less using my studio for a trap than really working out of it and realizing that I can get more for a 16 than I can get for any amount of thing, penitentiary chance you did.
But that Wayne hook, how did that hook go?
If I don't do nothing, I'm a ball. I'm counting all day.
That is arguably the greatest hip hop hook in history.
Is crazy.
In history. Like, that hook was like, that shit changed shit. I was like, wow. And it actually made me pay attention to Wayne more as well, because he was only on there for like eight bars.
Yeah.
And it was dope. So how and you and Wayne just maintained that relationship from then? Is that when y'all first connected?
Well, we was actually cool before that.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was actually cool before that. A lot of people, anytime they came to Atlanta, they had to holler at me for different reasons. And then I built a great relationship with him when I went to New Orleans when I first met Stunner.
Right.
I met Stunner first. I went to New Orleans, and me and him started getting cool on our own. But like I said, he really didn't know that I was like a rapper. I wasn't kicking it like that. You know what I'm saying? I was more or less around.
Right.
You know, and I have, you know, how we are. We some Virgos.
Right.
Some
that's cool. Right. That's right. Make some noise for Virgos, goddamn it. I said Virgos is the best sign.
Yeah.
I said Virgos is the best sign, and nobody clapped for me.
We got some good vibes. So people rock with us. We loyal people.
Right.
Once you get us on the team, you know what I'm saying? Whether you people rocking with you or not. You know what I'm saying? You my partner. You dig what I'm saying? So that's how I kick it. I can't wait for nobody to fuck with you.
Right.
That's when I'm gonna stay down with you.
Right.
You dig
what
I'm saying? So that's what it is. I've been
make
like
some noise for that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I had to make some noise for that. honestly, I tell every rapper who comes on this show, I say, this might not do nothing for them, but it does everything for me as a podcaster. And then what happens with this is these people go back and they pick up your albums. How this is happening, I have no idea. But everybody who's actually been on the podcast, albums is like charting again because they just love to sit down and hear this. And you and Wayne's relationship is like, I can tell that that's real. Like, I don't know.
It's
I
natural.
Know, not to say that any of his other relationships wasn't, but I remember, like, he's supposed to do an album with T-Pain. He's supposed to do an album with, you know, you name them, Jewels. You know what I'm saying? Who else? Drake. Yeah. And then it happened with you. How did that feel? Like, you know, because I know that Wayne was somebody you looked up to, and now, like, he's really.
I still do. I still do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I mean? He made me step it up. Mm-hmm. It was a, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Like I told him, it was a dream come true for me. You dig what I'm saying? Like everybody know he's upper echelon. He's top tier MC in the game.
Right.
Whether he has an album out or not, you know what I'm saying? I'm lucky enough to hear compositions that some people hadn't heard to let you know that he still has a very sharp sword.
It
was fun.
Right. And this came out on Def Jam too, right? How did you pull that off? Because you know he's going through all this legal stuff, and you still because
Def Jam, about that.
It's on Def Jam. Because I thought it was a mixtape, and then
Def Jam and Universe are the same thing,
but they're still different. They're the same thing.
But it's the same thing.
It's like your brothers. You got the same parents.
You know that's the same thing.
Yeah, but technically they could step in. I mean, Universal owns the whole company.
Exactly,
that's a fact. But that was ill that y'all pulled it off.
It was just how the stars was lined up because Universal was really the father in this situation.
Of course, yeah, they own everything.
So for the child to come up with this, the father ain't have no problem with it.
Right. But you know why?
Because the person that was on half the composition is, you dig what I'm saying? So it kind of was, it was still certain dues that had to be paid, but it wasn't ever a problem where this couldn't come through fruition.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy though, man. That's goddamn crazy, man. Let's make some noise for a fucking 2 Chainz pulling it off.
On that record, y'all was battling.
Bounce.
Like, I felt like you was, like, showing off at that point.
Yeah,
like,
we was in the studio together.
Like a rap.
And see, that's the thing. Like, we have a lot of records that didn't make the album, but a lot of the stuff that you hear, we were actually in the studio together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And people who haven't been in the studio with Wayne, you could be in there with them for weeks and not get a verse off. When they're going there together, it's kind of like, what you got, Tit? You got any beats? Right. And I'd be like, what you got? You know what I'm saying? So for this particular song, Bounce, that I think everybody should hear in the game because it adds something different to the game.
Yeah.
And it was very fun and intriguing, and there's some bars in there. We just went back and forth. You know what I'm saying? I had a few of my friends in there. I remember my chef was in there, my engineer.
Make some noise for 2 Chainz flossing on us.
Yeah.
Where's our chef?
Diego's my chef.
Yeah, I had to throw that cap in there, let y'all know, you know what I'm saying, how I'm living. No beef, no pork.
That's right.
Yeah, I carry mine with me like a strap.
So with that being said, right, you know, your relationship close with Wayne, and you also said that you met Baby first, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how does it feel, like, to be, like, you're not in the middle of it, but just to see, you know, discrepancies transpire?
I don't feel like I'm in the middle. I don't have feelings on it because I have a great rapport with both gentlemen, you know what I'm saying, with both gentlemen. I've always looked up to Stunner like a mentor, someone that was very educational with a street background. Mm-hmm. Same way with like Hov, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that kind of got that same little job on their resume, you dig what I'm saying, that has this. So, you know, and then I always looked up to Wayne for someone that created his own lane off work ethic and precision and you know what I'm saying, trying to be perfect. So for me, you know what I'm saying, I don't have an issue with, you know, their relationship, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, for the most part, I cherish my relationship I got with both the guys, you know what I'm saying? I really do, you know what I'm saying? I'm happy to have known them for over a decade to see the ups and the downs.
Right. Let's make some noise for that, goddammit.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you got something to eat?
Yeah, I want to take it a little further back. Mm-hmm. You was in the documentary that we just saw. the Organized Noise one. Were you in that
one? Yeah, I did that for them. Yeah.
What is that? I mean, I know there's... I could think of any evident, like, collaborations with you and Dungeon Family and that, but...
Yeah, I have some.
Well, you do?
Well, yeah, you haven't heard. Well, what is happening is I'm working on another album, and this is some... And I'm glad. So it's a good reason I'm here.
Yes, right.
So I'm working on another album. Now I enlisted, like, 3 or 4 producers who I wanted to curate my project. You did what
right.
I'm saying.
Right.
And with my last album, I'm in my ticket to Ye, dropped off a drive.
Right.
And then because I just like his pre and post, like I like leaving right. something and hearing what he does. To, I
right.
like that.
Right.
But then it's like some other guys that got like some other sauce, like my guy FKI, who I did Watch Out With. I love him. My homie C-No, who did I'm on a New Level for Ferg.
Mm-hmm.
And Organized Noise, who did some incredible things doing my upbringing in Atlanta. You dig what I'm saying?
And they working on this new album.
So one day I called everybody to the studio to hear my new album, you know what I'm saying, to hear what I got.
Mm-hmm.
On some same vibe that Ye would do as far as calling everybody
right.
to hear it. And just really not even trying to rap that day. We're just going to talk about music
right.
and just see, you know. And this was before Colly Grove, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is just me working on my next project, which is called BC, which is mean Before Chains, which is basically Titty Boy and the whole
right.
upbringing back when you knew me type
stuff. Right, yep.
So they come in, I got Rico, I got everybody still asleep, I got everybody y'all seen in the documentary, and I'm rubbing my hands together like Stunner, because I know I got something that don't nobody else got.
Right.
I know that they're very educated. I know that they
right.
know what that, you know what I'm saying? I know their track record. And then they do this documentary, and like everybody on they bumping, and I, you know,
right.
once again, like I said
right.
earlier, I don't want to seem like I'm biting,
right.
but I already got some stuff cracking with,
right.
with Mr. DJ
right.
and the whole campaign, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
like, I look up to CeeLo. I look up to, oh, man, come on, 3K is my favorite person in the world, man. Like,
right.
how he carries himself, how he does music, everything about the
I
man.
Heard you say about one day you was at one of your concerts and you seen Andre 3000 just chilling in the crowd.
This dude called an Uber something with a bunch of people.
Right.
Was in the crowd.
Uh-huh.
So I sent somebody to go get him. I said, this man in the crowd.
Oh,
shit.
Right.
He go to saying... Oh yeah, I just wanted to come watch the show. You, I'm saying, oh,
that's
bro, you can come back here and watch the show. You know what I'm saying? So he was, it's like he almost didn't realize who he was, man. You know what I'm saying? And like
oh,
after he watched the show, he was just damn near faded away again, back into the crowd.
But you know, that's what's beautiful about you. You know, one thing is how big you got. You ain't afraid to still be a fan. Like I seen you one time, like on a Jay-Z stage, and you were Snapchatting. And today your manager, we hit Tech, right? Let's big
yeah.
up Tech.
Yeah,
thanks for helping out, Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He right there. And you know what he said? He said, you know, 2 Chainz going to perform, but he also want to see the show. And that, right that moment, I was like, that's why that man is going to be around forever.
Yeah,
because.
Yeah.
When you get to a certain limit, a certain point in your life, some people want to stop being fans. Like, you ever hear a nigga say, yo, all I listen to is my shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot.
That's horrible.
Like, you're an idiot. Like, you better listen to everything. Like, I listen to the new, the old, the in-between, the super old. I listen to it all because you should be you should be knowing what's going on in the world. And that's what keeps you... You know, tuned, man. I think that's something that should be applauded. That the fact is that you just came and performed for the biggest audience, but you actually want to stay there and sit there and give it up to another artist, man.
Man, this Beyonce though, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
but still,
like
but
it's
still.
Like she's one of the best entertainers of our time. We just lost one of the best entertainers in Prince. You know what I'm saying? So you can't let this go. You cannot realize that you're in the presence of greatness and not honor
and
it while they're still
it.
Here.
Yeah.
When they
right.
go to passing away, you got all these pictures you're going to post,
right.
story vibes you're going to post. When the man was just walking the other day, you dig
right.
what I'm saying? So I'm into giving people credit. No, I do Nora the same way. Been a fan of the boy. I be rapping star. I know he don't know what I be knowing about.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying? For
all
that CNN
right,
era
right.
and
right.
things like that that really cultivated me as a Southern artist
right.
that got substance or think about what I say. I'm not like your average Southern
yeah, you,
artist.
You a real hip hop
you know
fan.
Like
I seen
give
you hanging
it to
with
you.
Raekwon.
What?
Like, yeah.
Super
like,
fan. Like man, him. Like,
right.
like, and when people like that started, like, co-signing me, and not just co-signing me like honoring my mindset, my deliveries, the things that I was saying from him to you or to a Jadakiss or to a Lloyd Banks or to anybody on these certain levels where they really a Fab or anybody that really care about their bars, all they got to do, or Nas, I can go on, or Hov, or anybody else that's complimenting me on some things.
Right.
That's where I get my confidence from. It's not like I need no female, you know what I'm saying? My money's good. It's these peers that I look up to and came up to and recognize they tier of bars when they go to, you know what I'm saying? Like, boy, you know what I'm saying? I be good. I don't be caring about the numbers or nothing after that. I be good, you know what I'm saying? So,
like, I, and another thing, I seen you on the Breakfast Club. And what's your partner that just passed away?
Bankroll Fresh.
Bankroll Fresh.
Yeah.
And you spoke about that, and you said in that interview, you said, you don't think about it. And that's one thing that I notice about you, like, You'll take pain and you'll just put it to the side. Like, is that a plus or that's a negative?
No, that's something that I've been doing since probably like I've been doing that since I was young. Like having like this big ass smile with some dark stuff going on.
Nah, I noticed
that's
that.
You know what I'm saying? That's one of my defense mechanism.
Right.
That's one of my and it take like when dealing with people, because I'm a psychology major, when dealing with people on all levels.
Hold on.
Yeah, let's make some noise.
He been the smartest nigga. I already knew he was the smartest nigga in the room, but he just put out his diploma just now. So definitely, yeah. But go ahead.
When you dealing with people of all facets, like all of us have different power, so to speak, that we don't know about. I can run across fans that can recognize that this may be a cover up. Now I can run into some people that don't even get it.
Right,
man, this man got a smile concrete on his face.
Right.
Then I can run across somebody to be like, you ain't feeling good today. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of how I move. We're coming up in a single parent household in a low socioeconomic status type of neighborhood, and really not even understanding that you was in bad shape. You dig what I'm saying? Because it's somebody down the street doing worse.
Because I remember like the most I ever called you is when your pops passed away.
Oh,
you know
that
what I'm
was
saying?
Rough for me. Yeah.
And the thing about that is when my pops passed away, I was in the same exact situation as you. I had a platinum album. I was on the road. I did a tour for 500,000, right? Those are beautiful days, right? And they gave me 250,000 in advance, and then they gave me like another 180 before I got on the plane or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had took off. I paid for the funeral, went out. And Chris Lighty came to me and was like, it's either two things we can do. We can give back this money or we can go cash this money.
Oh,
and I had to go on the road. Like, this is my father. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This was my hero. You know, other people in the hood had drug dealers. I looked into my pops.
All right.
So, and I knew what you was going through. And I didn't care if I bothered you. Mm. I called you every single day. And I made you remember that, right?
No, you stayed down with me.
I was like, yo, you know,
I'm like, I done with deal with that before. Because see, if you haven't, if you've never lost a parent, ain't nothing you could tell me about you. Understand? I can't go for that. Because see, my dad.
Hold on, we ain't gonna make no. That's a handshake.
You dig what I'm saying?
That's real shit. Go ahead.
I feel you. Just email. You dig what I'm saying? Because my daddy, you dig what I'm saying? Although, like I said, I be using them stories about single parent mom and all that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember going to prison and my daddy looking totally different than I remember him when he went in. I remember just like him being different. He had got a little gray and everything. I just remember him looking different. I remember putting my hand up against the glass. I remember it became like a fad to like, dish your father, like everybody, like, you know, man, fuck that, you know what I'm saying? And I never went through that fad, like, even though mine wasn't around, I still wasn't like, he's like, for some reason, because I could find him if I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? And he always had some game and some gangster for me, you know what I'm saying? He always had some game and some gangster for me, you know what I'm saying? So the last time he got out of prison, I picked him up personally. I pulled up. I ain't even have him this much money. I have an expedition and all that. I pull up down in Archery State Prison somewhere. I picked the man up. You know what I'm saying? I take him to get a Verizon phone, bank account, put $9,000 in it for him, and a couple other things. You did what I'm saying. I moved a man with me, and we started doing what we was doing. And my daddy still had his hustle. He still, when he passed away, I found 2 pounds, money, all type of stuff. He still had his
2 pounds
hustle.
Of what? Weed?
Yeah, weed.
Oh, okay, all right, cool. Was it gas?
Yeah.
Or Pop was messing with Reggie?
Pop messing with my partner. See, that was funny. Like, I'm calling the studio. They took my Pop over there, and I'm starting to put this stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Right, but, you know, I found money and everything, and it's just like, like I tell people, with me hustling is like hereditary. It's a genetic for me. Like, my daddy really, you know what I'm saying, drove cars off the truck. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm riding and stuff with the plastic still on and however you want to kick it, it's in my bloodstream, you know what I'm saying? So when I lose somebody of that caliber, it's going to affect me to a point where, like, you know, when I'm not doing that, I like to think, you know what I'm saying? When I like to think, I go to, you know what I'm saying? It's not, I don't have, like.
But you ever, like, you never, like, because the thing about it is, with me, I had to deal with it face on. Like, I had to look at it and say, because to me, I feel like you, like, kind of put it in the back and you just, you don't really think about it. Am I right or?
No, I think about this nigga. I think about Bankroll all the time. I can hear Bankroll voice, fam.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. This is the thing with Bankroll is that I can't believe it.
Why? Right.
In denial.
Right. I
just can't believe it. Right. I just remember two. I just can't believe it. You know
he was
saying?
Just about to blow.
Like, I can't believe it.
Right.
I just, because we never saw each other every day. I talk every day anyway. So I just feel like I'm going to see him. Again, I can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? With my father, he was getting sick. Yeah. It's the difference between a sporadic death and somebody that was sick.
Prepare yourself.
You know what I'm saying? When somebody that's sick, you kind of be like, man, I pray. I hope it's going to work. Something that's sporadic, you go to being like, all right, shorty, boom, 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 boom. And then 15 minutes later, it's like, that's why you can't believe it. Because you just was like, all right, shorty.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. Before you can get to the next spot, it's like you can't believe it. There's no way that it happened like that.
And so, where was you at when you got the call? Was you in Atlanta?
Yeah, I was in Atlanta.
Wow.
I was in Atlanta. I was very close. You
God
know what
bless
I'm saying?
Bang,
so with me, it's a defense mechanism. You know, you got to think, like, I did the best I could. I didn't, like, you can, okay, my album dropped the same day that Bank passed.
Wow.
I couldn't be trying to put up, go get this all
yeah,
this stuff. Yeah. I had to try to deal with it. But
you was
this
worse
is what
than
I
me.
Gotta
like,
do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see
My album dropped, my pops died 2 weeks later. Something like that. I believe.
Then when you came down to do Melvin Flint, I remember you was mourning.
No, Melvin Flint, that was I lost my pops and Pun at that time.
Yeah.
Like, see, now Pun, I ain't never seen Pun sick. Like, I used to be around Pun, and he used to fall asleep on me, right, James? Right. But he'd be like,
narcoleptic.
I was like, damn, I'm boring this shit. Let me step my story game up or something. Like, I didn't know Pun was sick until, like, after he passed. Mm. And then I went and studied what that was. Like, enough oxygen wasn't coming to his brain, but I was too young to understand that. So Pun was like Bankroll. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, it was suddenly, now my pops, I knew my pops had kidney failure. I knew what he was going through. So I related to you so much, not only being a Virgo, but I just, you know, I think that you're such a loyal person. You're such a, like even you being here right now.
Yep.
Even you being here right now, that's from me and you knowing each other from back then, but you ain't had to come. So that in itself shows how just loyal you are. And I just want you to just not to forget to take care of 2 Chainz. You know what I'm saying? Take care of you, because I see you taking care. Come on, here. You gonna hit some of the liquor?
Nah.
I was scared to offer you.
Nah, you
I was
know,
gonna
I'm
pour some
I'm
shots.
Muddy. I'm muddy.
I'm on. So now let's break down lean for the people who is drinking Clorox.
Right.
Because some people are out here drinking Clorox, 2 Chainz. They're not drinking lean. They're drinking Clorox mixed with NyQuil. Can you tell them the real? How does this happen?
Mm-hmm. All right. So they have like they have fake activists. Like, they have fake everything.
They got fake everything.
And so I don't drink red, green, nothing like that. All I do is drink activists. So when they said they were going to stop making activists way back when.
Now, activists is pink?
Yeah, activists is like, it's the coating that changes it to pink. It changes it to pink. Once activists, like once Justin Bieber and a few other artists of high caliber started getting caught with this kind of drink.
Okay, hold on. Justin Bieber got caught with activists. We did not know that. Let's make some noise for Justin Bieber being a nigga. Officially a nigga. Go ahead. God damn it, Justin Bieber.
It was just everybody. Every time you saw somebody, that's what they would. It started being something that they would post from Soulja Boy and a lot of other cats would post it online. So, in my opinion, the company shut down and we gave a warning that we're shutting down. When they gave that warning, I didn't believe them, but I kind of did because the price went up and I thought people was just trying to. So, I bought a little extra. And so I don't drink every day at all, you know what I'm saying? But today I'm in Miami. It's like, it was like a Beyonce tour. I had to perform for that. Right. I had a video shoot with Lil Wayne yesterday. I know I got to be geeked up to be around this nigga. Right. You dig what I'm saying? Right. So I pulled out.
Like my friend Twin, he came with Factivist.
What did he come with?
It was Factivist. It wasn't activist.
Come on,
Twin. Just speak on Haz, Mike. Yeah. What was that fake shit you drinking? What's that it called?
It's not fake. There's different types of lean. This is called Caracol. It's green.
I've never heard of that. I'm gonna ask you to step off the mic. I've never heard of that. I'm keeping it real. You my brother Twin. Look, you got 2 Chainz choking up over there. He ain't never heard of it. This is a lean. Listen, time out, Twin. This is a lean guy. He's never heard of it. Hold on.
What you said?
Go ahead, Chainz. Give us the real Chainz.
I don't know.
Lee Moore's.
That's not it, right? That's not. Well, he's drinking his car.
Activist is promethazine and codeine. It comes in a. I don't know. It comes
you gotta like, be a chemist to drink
it's,
this shit.
It's very like, right. It's very sweet. So when people get on, they get addicted to the taste. It tastes good. Mm. And then it gives you, I don't know, a different kind of body high. For me, I'm already laid back, so it intensifies my laid backness, so to speak. You dig what I'm saying? And it helps with anxiety. It helps with pain relief and all of that. So back when I was taking it, before I knew I needed it because I got ulcers and acid reflux and some other things. This is what they prescribe you for things of that nature. They prescribe you this right here. But they, instead of doing this, now they give you pills. So now I have promethazine pills that are from the doctor. But in order to get this here, it's basically extinct. But I got a little spot. You got a couple things laying around.
Let's make some noise for 2 Chainz having connects.
A liquid Xanax, so is that what it would be?
No, because I've taken Xanax before, and it's like, whoa. You know, Xanax is like, I can't.
That's extra.
Yeah, this drink is a little.
How did this drink become popular in Atlanta? Because it was a Houston thing, right?
It was definitely started in Texas, you know what I'm saying? Because we're in the South as well, man. And it became something that, it's a culture. Like, with smoking, a lot of things that make us smoke from a psychological perspective, my brother.
Psychological.
Has to do with the actual smoke. If there wasn't no smoke, a lot of us wouldn't give a, you know, when smoke, it's That's just deep. The fact that you have to exhale, you see shit, you can make circles, you can fucking, like, the whole, they see it over there. It, you know, if it's like, if we was over here smoking and no one can see it, it kind of like, we probably wouldn't do it.
Cause it's a psychological.
You dig what I'm saying?
This is hard. Go ahead,
so
keep going.
It's the same thing with cups and drinking. You got these double cups. It represents a culture of, you know, how many people got shit on, like, every time niggas doing this shit with liquor in it now. Right. You ain't even supposed to drink liquor in this
shit. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Nigga, you be fucking drunk the white out this
month. Because DJ Screw, with Fat Trail.
No, when they were listening to Screw.
I hung out with Fat Trail. He had lean and Patron and Henny. I said, this nigga's crazy.
Yeah, see, I'm nigga. But yeah. And then, like, then you got pills or something that you take. You have to wait. Like, me and you take it at the same time. We get high at different times. Right. It's just. Pills is a little different for me anyway.
Right.
Everything else I'll try sometimes.
Mm. Right. So what you got, niggas don't got. This is 800 a pint.
Yeah. No. That shit 5,000 a pint now. They sell it for
Let's make some noise. That's from your stash. Let's make some noise for the most expensive shit. Let's do it. Come on. Now you're doing the most expensive shit with GQ. How did that happen?
They came to me, man. They saw somebody with a debonair personality. You know what I'm saying? They saw somebody with the right.
Debonair. That sounds like something Billy Dee Williams would say. Yeah. I'm going to use that word. Debonair. I love it. Go ahead.
It's
continue.
It's something that they came to me with. I, you know, we made it happen. It made sense. It's been successful. Right. And hopefully we'll take it to the next level. We just shot the third season, so
Big up GQ for seeing that. Cause 2 Chainz a hood nigga. Yo. Like, and they got him sipping $10,000 bottles of water. Thinking,
what's the next level?
And yo, you, yeah. What was you doing? You was wild.
We just did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've had a $300 hamburger. I've had
facts. This is life.
I've had. I mean, the stuff that I've done is, you know, they have the $5,000 toothbrush. They have the
$5,000 toothbrush.
They have the Sunday. I forgot how much the Sunday cost. They had, but they have like, you know, $2 million car. I mean, everything they have is like very over the top. And then right. For me, they introduced me to the person then on the camera. I think that's why it's successful. It's like I don't know anything about the person.
Right. It's organic.
Sometimes they don't know anything about me. So it's like I come there. Like the last one of the episodes I did was like selling one of these commemorative hats for Kobe. You know, for like $25,000, but they, you know, they're gonna walk into the ring with a security and a girl and a whole bunch of cap with it, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't going. It was like a regular fitted cap, but it had some nice fabric, you know what I'm saying? Nice things going on. But you know, just me knowing that this hat, after I'm touching it and popping, you know, they like they want a quarter for it. Yeah. Get your hat back, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like the last episode I did was a kernel of popcorn. It had gold on it. And all of this, they want $5 per kernel, motherfucker. For real, now, you know.
Expensive movie. Right.
Get you like $100 or $2 work, you know what I'm saying? Work for them a little bit. And they come in a little 3-5s, a little trap sack. You can get a one, you can get you a one. You know, so I'm ate like $100 worth of them.
Right.
He kicking it, bro.
Nah.
Y'all gonna kick it with me one.
Yeah,
check.
Yeah.
That one should have had gonna kick it with him one day, man. Yeah, we out there kicking it, bro.
Definitely.
We out there kicking it, bro.
Man, once again, I know it's mid-interview, but I want to thank you just for being here, and your energy is perfect. But I also want to bring up one thing. The C-Murder thing. You remember I called you about that? You remember?
Said, yep.
What did I say? You remember?
Man, you said let that go.
That's
you said let that go first. People don't know that. I wasn't going to be on no negative stuff because I didn't want to kick the man while he was down. But right before I like posted this video about how I was like not really going to entertain it, you had just you had just hit me up like Chainz don't do it. It's just, man, you know, negative energy needs something negative to like cling on to
live,
bro.
To live.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can almost get me, but right now I'm like, man, I got like a beautiful family.
You know what I was worried about? I was worried about you worried about the internet trolls.
Nah,
like,
man.
So you know that when I called you, I was like, because I know C-Murder, and C-Murder, have you ever met C-Murder?
Nah.
Well, I know that I know him very well. And I know you very well.
Yeah.
Y'all niggas would have been best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just telling you. Like, so I was like, when I seen that, I was like, it was my duty as, I don't want to say an OG, fuck that OG, but it was my duty, like, 2 Chainz, you too powerful. Because if you would have just said, fuck that. You could have tweeted, fuck that.
Yeah.
And the world would have just came, you know what I mean? Like, down either on him or down on you. And it's like...
We don't neither one of us need that. He's in a position now where I feel like he shouldn't use his energy in a way that's, like, negative. Like using his energy in that.
But me being in the can, I knew where he was coming from because all he's saying is, you know, he ain't hear your story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was able to talk to him. We got on the phone together.
And that was dope. I know.
I was able to talk. But see, it's so many sides of the story because it's like,
all right,
you think I'm snacking off yours. Because, see, somebody made an album cover that I would never make. It was like one of the album covers. Like, if you follow me, I try to be creative. I don't know. Honestly, like, the name of my TRU is the Real University. The acronyms is TRU.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like most men as far as not wanting to explain myself to people.
Right.
That's really like my thing that I'm still working with. Like, I don't feel even today, this is like, man, I want to do the concert, but then I got to really tell Nori going to think I'm on some bullshit. But really, I want to tell him I want to see Beyonce. But I can hear this nigga saying, yo, this nigga want to see Beyonce.
My wife is there right now, nigga. I sent my wife to the concert, so I understand.
I swear, fam. And it's like, I'm trying to work with, like, trying to balance that off, like, still, like, this not being no loss of respect thing, you know what I'm saying? So I got him on the phone. I'm letting him know, like, my TRU, we buy homes for people in need, you know what I'm saying? My TRU, we give back to the community.
Right.
My TRU does different things like this. My TRU don't say I'm... In camouflage, I have brothers that do my anything that's a connect. I haven't redone a composition from that era. Anything. It's literally just an acronym like True TV, and ain't nobody mad at True TV. You dig what I'm saying? But you can choose to have bad energy towards me, and then I can choose to fall into it, or I can choose to try to curb it. So it was cool that you came that way. You know what I'm saying? And I gotta understand that he an oppressed mindset. I gotta understand where he coming from. So if he wanna, if he, like he, like I ain't never listened to the song, but it had went through my. The quickest way to get me piped up is through my girl. You know what I'm saying? Like with any other black man, like we cool, we go. You talk shit on blah 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 blah. But then my girl get involved, I got to fuck you up. I got to fuck you up.
Cause I think when I
she can't
you,
let me know I ain't no sucker. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like I'm my kids. Girl, my mom, all them, they think I'm out mine because I don't. You dig what I'm saying? So that's what it was like. Like damn, you know, it's like damn. So she gotta bring it to me. So now I gotta. So I didn't even listen to it because I felt like that would be.
I never listened to one disc record. Yeah,
that helps. If you don't listen to it,
I never listen to it.
You don't listen to it. I heard. Like
I swear to God,
like,
I got.
Like the first part came on like something like dick in the booty, and I'm so my first thing like me being. Having a sense of humor, I was like, fam, I haven't thought about booty all day. You know what I'm saying? So this stuff gonna make me think about stuff that I'm not even thinking about today. So I don't even need. And it was like on the IG when it was just playing the beginning of it. So I didn't go look up the song. Everybody else did, and it was coming from like everybody else who wanted me to react. But it's like, what do you want me to do? Go to jail and do something, or wait till he comes out? Like somebody that has a family, a life, or whatever they do. You know what I'm saying? Because I have friends incarcerated. I pray that the man gets another opportunity to get out here on the street.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And be able to do. Because it's like it's like our right to spread our wings, to be able to breathe this fresh air, to be able to sit here amongst men, conversate and do what we want to do as grown men and not be told. You know what I'm saying? So honestly, just to move on past this, I wish nothing but the best for him. And his family, fam.
And we're going to make some noise for that. We're going to make some noise for that. You know what the craziest thing about it all was? I seen C. Murder one time in the Source Awards in L.A. And we had machine guns because this is a time where these niggas was robbing everybody, right? So I was just like, fuck that. It ain't happening to us. So we somehow we had got some machine guns. So we thought we was ill. We went on a C Murder tour bus. We was like, nigga, we scrapped fuck up. Nigga, like, we showed a nigga machine guns. That nigga pulled out rifles. It's like, what are y'all niggas doing? We got rifles, and that nigga had an AK, and I was like, holy moly guacamole. But when I did a video with you, the Tadal video shoot, I came in to take a picture with you. Y'all niggas had the same exact fucking AKs. So I'm like, yo, that was God telling me. These are the same people in quite different situations, but you have an ability to come help out. You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason why I called you, because you could have said one thing, and I'm telling you, the internet would have been crazy. I applaud you for being a grown man. I applaud you for I don't want to say respecting your elders, but. You know, that's a person
I
who
do,
came.
I respect him.
That's a person who came
they,
before
they paid
us.
The way for a lot of us down south.
Definitely.
When they came in the door, that's when we started having them arguments. Master P better than Nori. It'd be like, get the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like, New York niggas would be like. But they would give us an argument because it wasn't that. I don't think we understood, like, rhymes or skill set. It was more of like hustling. Them boys came in running it up. So like you talked to Master P, them they said some of the stuff wasn't even mixed. They were just they were just trapping, fam. That. You know what I'm saying? And it's like that they gave us something to argue about. You know what I'm saying? Master P came in. He gave us something to look up to. Ice Cream Man, Hustlers, you know, Gold Teeth, Cartiers, all white, you know what I'm saying? Riding Nice. His brother came in on the gangster shit. You know what I'm saying? We had to it's just like he put niggas on. You heard about what he did for niggas. So you know what I'm saying? Like,
Now, I was proud of you how you handled the situation, because some you could give somebody advice and some people would just say whatever and say fuck you, nigga. Nah, you know what I'm saying? But you understood that, and that is absolutely fantastic in my opinion. But
has that happened to you though? Because you intervene in a lot of these things.
What? No. I swear that was God. Like I didn't ask to go on this man's tour bus to see like the same exact guns that C Murder had. Like I didn't ask that. I went in there to take a picture. You know what I'm saying? But I felt the same exact that same exact moment when I walked on Chain's bus. Mm-hmm. I felt the same exact way when I walked on C Murder's bus. So when this incident occurred, I felt like that God had put me in that situation for that. You know what I mean? Because, and I don't know, I think I was right. Let's make some noise for me thinking I was right.
You
know what I'm
saying? Big up C Murder. Hey, you was trying and you and it worked.
And let me just tell you, like, this was the time. Big up Tech again, man. Tech, I'm sorry, man. I went at yo, I was trying.
He don't even remember that, man.
I was trying. Listen, let me tell you something. 2 Chainz, you were so hot at the moment, my nigga. And I had a record and I was chasing it. I was chasing this record down, and I was blowing up this man's phone. I was blowing up your phone, and Chainz said, "I got you, right? This is the only rapper ever in history." He said, "Nori, I'll fuck you up." Yo, this is the only rapper in history. And that's when I knew. I said, this is my friend right here. Because listen, if you ever have a relationship with somebody over 10 years and y'all don't have a little dispute, get away from that nigga. That shit is fake.
Nigga, I fucking killed Tech. Nigga, fucking left, right. Nigga, I'm fucking
That's what I'm talking about. Pop the bottles, baby. But 2 Chainz, you always just been there, man. Tech, man, I appreciate you guys, man. You're always just been there. But that was the first the rapper that I ever said. And I told him, I said, "Yo, I specialize in fighting tall niggas." You know. And then then I realized that day on the court, you're actually not no fake play. Like that play when they show you on ESPN dunking. Mm-hmm. Like you're actually a real you could have been to the NBA.
I'm not sure if I would apply my work ethic the same work ethic that I did when I realized what it would took to be a successful rapper. Mm-hmm. Because it's doing it every day. No matter how good you are, like God gives us a talent. Like you were probably born a rapper. I wasn't born a rapper. I was just born somebody to inspire and hustle. But when I got the game, I did it to our past niggas that God gave the talent to. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like God, because you got Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. Okay, right. God gave all these niggas talent, and they worked on their game. That's what made them who they are.
Right.
Now God gave, I can name 3 other niggas talent, and some of them not even in the league, or they at the same level that they are that God gave. So with me, what you get is like somebody like a Dennis Rodman who works on his game and becomes a valuable player. And not just that, but like a lot of artists who find their niche and just keep doing it. Like with this rap, I do it every single day. I do something every single day. I've been out here 3 days. I've probably done like 4 songs. Right. I'm geeked about all of them. Right. I know I'm hard. I look at everybody in the room. I know niggas like, I know I'm hard. Like, I know I tell Nori, you don't want to get. Let's do a song. I'll get you alive. Nori,
I'm trying to tell us,
yo,
nigga.
Yo, boy, you can't fuck. I'm like, Nori, you can't fuck with me. Like,
listen.
Like, we friends.
Me and him, man.
I know how to pick on them too. They already cut one of his verses short and let you know.
Me and 2 Chainz be battling on text. Like,
you don't want to get on a song like for real. No, when I have time, I'm going to mop your shit.
I gotta slay 2 Chainz. Because listen, first off, I haven't thought about writing a verse in a long time.
I know
CBS is taking care of us. High five. CBS is taking care of us. I got a full show that I'm doing. If you in town, I know you rich and you're gonna fly out, but if you in town Friday, we're having I'm doing my full show. It's with MTV. It's the first time I'm announcing it on this podcast. It's like a Anthony Bourdain man versus fool. So you come out, we have drinks, appetizers, we have grilled octopus and shit like that. It's Friday. If you still in town, I would love for you to come by and bug out and have fun on camera. So I'm into different things because I just feel like I'm 38, right? And I'm a Santiago, but my maiden name, my mom's maiden name, is a Williams, right? Okay. You ask anybody named Williams, they got bad knees. If they name Williams and they black, they got bad knees, my nigga. I'm telling you. So I can't be on stage at 40, Chainz. Yeah. I can't be on stage and just keep doing it. You know what I mean?
That's why I came up with all these lines. It's just about creating multiple streams of revenue for mm-hmm. artists. I mean, mm-hmm. I love being on stage because I love the attention.
Me
but
too.
It's not nothing that I, you know, want to do. Well, I'm gonna do it my whole life, but I gotta have. I can't but depend on it. I gotta have other streams coming
at some point. Does it feel like the stripper that was in the same club for 10 years when you on stage? Like, I felt like that the other day. Like, one day I was like, niggas, I'm on perform. Niggas is like, yo, do Bloody Money. And I'm like, all right, let's do Bloody Money. Then the niggas say, do Super Thug. And I'm like, hold on. Right. Is these niggas throwing money at me or something? Like, they got requests, like, shake, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I felt like that when we was in Russia.
Oh, no, in Russia, they was, but we was too deep. So we had to do whatever the fuck they said. Let's make some noise for us being scared. But let's keep it real. Like, you haven't felt that feeling yet. You saying that where you just
Well, the thing with me is, I remember when it was only 15 people there, and I used to tell them, I don't care if it's 15 or 15,000, I'm gonna give y'all a show. So if it Benjamin Buttons and goes from 15 to 150,000 and go back to 15 again, I'm gonna still do the same thing.
Right.
Because especially right now, where you got the internet, where somebody can record that show of 15 people and only record your body reaction, and that can lead to other things like most expensive stuff. See, what happens is a lot of people play off the energy of the actual people in the room.
Right.
And you have to really play the energy to these cameras right now, because when they post it and all that stuff, they don't know who. He hasn't looked behind him today.
Right.
They don't know how many people behind him. So they don't know if it's nobody.
Perception.
And I'm sitting here like,
they
don't know if I'm like, this is bull. This is some bull. Or if I'm like turned up because there's some beautiful strippers behind. They don't know.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? All he knows is when they post it and they see me and whatever. You know what I'm saying? So by me understanding that, I'm going to give the people what they want, no matter what kind of energy I'm giving them. It's like, I'm having my own party on stage. You kind of crazy if you don't get what's going on.
Because you had the most befuddled, oblivious.
You went there.
I had to use the befuddled. A lawsuit ever. Like, the chick comes backstage. She wants to be there. And
snuck in.
That was the dumbest lawsuit I ever
snuck seen. Snuck in, fam, and I told her to leave. Like, you know, the cameras, like, what y'all saw is what y'all saw, but it was more footage than that. But the gist of the story is that I got two daughters of my own, you know what I'm saying? So I'm very conscious of my female interaction, period. Right. I have a higher respect for females, and I'm not a thirsty individual.
Right.
I'm not trying to make nobody's book.
Right.
Rumor mill.
Right.
None of that stuff.
Right.
Friends, cool, whatever. Did what I'm saying. This particular person was back there. I'm not sure who she was looking for. All I asked her to do was basically leave, because girls that move by themselves anyway, I always feel like I'm not. Girls should have a friend.
Yes,
somebody
right.
with
no good. Brother.
That's right.
You can't just be. You can't just be back here right now.
Right.
Just you, and you don't know nobody.
And imagine
right now, back here with all these men standing where this mannequin is right here, but you don't know nobody in the room.
Is a mannequin? Oh, shit. I didn't even know.
Goddamn,
Two Chainz. Let's pick up Two Chainz for being a
Zerbinator.
Why was she back there, Dolo? I didn't understand.
You dig what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want. And then it's like, I got a bunch of people up here from Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, that know my situation, what's going on. So let's just get you. Please, let's get you out of here. You know, she playing and wasting time and all of that. And, you know, and it just became something that it kind of blew out of proportion. And she kind of, in my opinion, helped it go into proportion. Because I didn't once I did what I did, once whatever happened, I was done with it.
Right.
She kept bringing it up. She's actually suing again right now.
For what? For the song?
Yeah, for the song.
Yeah, she's an idiot.
Don't
worry, you don't gotta say it. She's an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say it.
Yeah, she's
a portfolio.
She's suing again. She thinks I'm trying to put a hit out on her, and it's like I don't even have that kind of energy or time. Like when I move past something, I move past something, right. And I feel sorry for her, because whoever's looking and hearing this right now, and the reason I haven't pressed the issue is I honestly feel like something is wrong with her. Right. I looked at her in the eyes before.
Right.
And that's just my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard the same thing from people in her neighborhood, people in her community, but not just saying it like.
Because where was this at? Where did that happen at?
It was in North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina.
Something is like, you know what I'm saying? Not right. So that's why I can't be like stupid, creep, you know, bitch, whatever. I don't want to do that because I feel like something kind of wrong with her. So.
Now, let me ask you this. Being that Luda has something to do with your beginning of your career. Luda's rich. He moved on. He's done 7 Fast and Furious movies. You know all this. But in the music sense, he's kind of lost his space. Would signing Luda be something you would be interested in?
No, because Luda wouldn't do it. He's a very prideful individual.
He's a Virgo too.
He's born right the day before me. So that's kind of one of the things that made us click. But no, he wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? And then Luda still, one thing about Luda and one thing about this, and you know, it's when we catch our few little shows and have our, we can go get us some money anytime.
Right, that's a fact.
So Luda, I watch him, he's with my homie Faith. He's constantly doing shows. Mm-hmm. So I think it's dope that he's became such a high caliber actor, because this could be his other stream of revenue that me and you are talking about.
But right. You gotta know that, like, once you was the man, and then you go on, you do something else. When you come back to the game, you're not quite the same.
But you still
like,
love
even,
it.
Even with you, like your affiliation with Kanye, like you were hot bubbling on your own. But to tell you the truth, Kanye stole your aura. What I mean by that is your energy was, like, sometimes a person's energy could be so good that all I got to do is stand next to you. I ain't got to do nothing else. All I got to do is stand next to you, and I take some of your aura. And you know what I mean? Dr. Dre does it. Pharrell does it. Kanye does it. If you're the hottest thing in the world. Who?
Diddy
does it. If you're the hottest thing in the world, sometimes I don't. You don't even got to do a verse for me. You don't got to do an interview. All you got to do is come to my studio, and I can observe the positivity that's coming from you. And being that you don't think Luda would just say, you know what, Chainz, I'll let you executive producer. I heard you say he was A&R in this.
No, I'm gonna put this out here, and he knows. Like I did before I left them, I did. I was supposed to be A&R in his last project, Ludaverse or something like this. This is before I left. Mm. And so there's a couple thousand left over. And he be wanting his little money and stuff. There's a couple thousand left over that he owes me, I did the job or not. Okay. I was contractually bound to it. It was a few thousand. It wasn't no big thousand. But as of right now, all my business straight. All right. You know what I'm saying?
Luda owe that brag.
It ain't merch.
Yeah.
It ain't merch.
But
I seen Shocker the other day. I seen it, and I know they think like. And then when I see, like, I be so like, damn, I ain't seen you in so long. I forget to say it, but now it's on my mind.
Right.
It's on my mind. Mm. It's a couple thousand. Mm. That is whether, because it's some beats that he did rap over that I sent him, whether it was on the album or not.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to need that little bit.
Yeah, let's make some noise for it. But you changed me, man. I ain't gonna lie. I see Luda, Shaka. What's the other Jeff? I see all of them in Toronto All Star Weekend. So we eating in the same restaurant. I sent them 2 bottles. Yeah. They sent me 2 bottles. I sent them 2 more bottles. The Rachel said they are done. Right. Okay. They don't want no more.
Yeah.
And I, you know, they so rich. They should have just took the bottles and sent me 2 more. But they stopped. Like, you know, they are set in their ways and they are cool. It was great to see him. Big up to Luda. Big up to the whole staff. You know what I mean? But I think Luda should sign to you. You know, I know it was a question that I asked you, but I think he should sign, because how dope was that when Puff put on Big and then Big wrote for Puff and was going to executive and was going to manage Puff? That moment in hip hop for me was like, that's what it's all about. I put you on. You know better than me.
let me help out.
And
you know
Luda's
what I'm
still so dope too. He just needs the right records.
Now Luda is dope. Yeah. I think that what you don't realize, 2 Chainz, is you're actually a producer. But what I mean by that is, once you have more than 3 or 4 hits, 5 hits, it doesn't matter. Your voice actually helps the producer. You tell the producer what to do, and I think that you can do that. That's what Fat Joe has finally realized, is that he's a producer. Because, see, people think producing is this. Mm. But it's not. Turn down that bass. Put up that treble. You know what I'm saying? Put more on the horns. Make, you know what I'm saying? That's what producing is. And then when you have, that's why you have so many like great producers. That was what a Puff Daddy, or what a Dre, or what a Irv Gotti, or what a Sha Money XL. And then these producers leave, and then these producers are working on UPS, is because it's the chemistry which makes it work. So I want to applaud you for continuing to do what your thing, doing your thing. And I think that I think Luda, if you're listening to this,
yeah,
I think
crazy.
You should sign. The label's TRU, right?
Yeah.
I'm starting a rumor right now. Listen, Luda is signing to TRU. We're starting a rumor right now. We don't know if it's going to become true, but we're starting a rumor. Luda, and you going to pick up Shauna too? You want to pick up Shauna? You going to leave her alone?
Shauna is dope. DTP had they run too, man. Yeah. I was around there when everybody. I learned a lot, fam. That's why I don't really have nothing negative to say, because I was around when, beautiful, you know, when Chingy was very successful and doing numbers, and Bobby V and a few other cats that was, you know, doing things. And I learned everything from product placement to, you know what I'm saying, certain deal structures and everything. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I try to learn from each experience, whether good or bad.
Like you left them. Like when you, like, I hate when rappers leave a crew and then they be like, man, fuck that crew.
Yeah.
You didn't do that. Like,
because we all still got the same phone number, and that's just,
yeah. You know,
and we're going to see each other at the game. I just
want to applaud you for that, because I hate when a person is down with EFN. I'm just using you for example. Calm down. When a rapper is down with EFN and then they leave EFN and they like, man, fuck EFN. He got gray hair in his beard. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, but you was with this guy for 10 years. It's like, if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. Like, I did a business deal with Jay-Z, right? It was horrible. It doesn't make him a bad businessman. Doesn't make me a bad businessman. It makes the situation that we had bad. Other than that, everything stays the same.
Gotcha.
Like, I ain't got nothing bad to say about him. Hopefully, he ain't got nothing bad to say about me.
He's gonna call
too
you.
Powerful.
He'll call
you. I don't want him to call me no more. Hov, don't call me. Leave me alone. I'm so scared of you, Hov. But listen, so I want to applaud you, because you was one of the dudes that actually stepped outside, said, you know what? I'm going to do me. And you never actually shitted on them. I got to make some noise for that. Come on, goddamn. Now, why do you think, because I'm sure you was frustrated, because that's the reason why you left. Why do you think you never took that approach?
I think me knowing, or me assuming that they think that I would do that,
right,
would just drive them crazy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Just now you got to listen to everything all the way through to see if it's a shot taken when you're not even on my mind.
Right.
So that was still like another psychological angle for me to just know that I'm not going to say nothing, but you got to listen to make sure that none of this has anything to do with you. Up to today, I still do that. I never have anything negative to say, but I know you just got to make sure. It's just one of them things where, you know, I'm a little loose.
Right.
You're not sure where I am mentally because you're not around. So you don't know if, like, the family changed me, or if this incident made me back wacko again. So you're like, you don't know what I'm on.
Right.
And I kind of like that.
Well, 2 Chainz, let me just tell you, man, I call you the new king of the South. I don't know if you're going to take that attribute.
Nah, T.I. the king of the South. I respect T.I. too.
I said the new king.
Yeah, well,
right now,
new and old. There's a lot of guys doing that. Honestly, coming from you, and I ain't mean to break you off.
No.
I appreciate that, fam.
Nah,
you know
man,
what I'm saying?
To me.
I remember, I got some stories about me and your motherfucking ass.
All right, let's go. You know what I'm saying? You going to embarrass me?
I ain't gonna lie. When I go to New York, you know what I'm saying? He one of the first New York cats giving me some fucking wit. And I always wanted some fucking wit from New York cats, because
okay, you gotta break down fucking wit. That's hard. What is that?
Like somebody that
fucking with you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. You know
it's for the lamest, the viewers.
So You know what I'm saying? I link up with the boy in New York. He tell me to come kick it with him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He got everybody, Mussolini, his whole crew. Yeah. You know,
God damn it, Mussolini. That's bigger Mussolini. That lets you know 2 Chainz been down.
Yeah, for sure.
He been, go ahead, continue. He checking $1 million text. Go ahead. It's okay.
So, and so, like, you know, I'm going around with him, and it's like, at this particular time, I drunk alcohol, you know what I'm saying? Right. And all I drank at this particular time was Hennessy, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And Tech don't even know this. So, like, he taking me to these little lobbies, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hotel lobbies in New York. He's to little like bars that. And shit like this. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know. I'm trying to, you know, he's trying to show me really this how you do. You don't have to stay here. You can come here and have drinks, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to places, and he like, these people don't have Hennessy, you know what I'm saying? I'm really like tripping, like, man, I have Hennessy. You know what I'm saying? You need to try this, you know what I'm saying? Pinot Grigio, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's Pinot Grigio shit, you know what I'm saying? I drink this shit. I don't drink at all. When I drink, I fucking drink Pinot Grigio. So he got me on this Pinot Grigio shit. Then, you know what I'm saying? We go somewhere else. And he tell me, yo, you know about this, Tiger Paw shit.
Yeah, Tiger Paw.
Tiger Paw.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying, fam? You know what I'm saying, fam? You don't know about Tiger Paw, fam? You know what I'm saying, fam? Fam, how you do? Hard, fam.
7 hours.
You know what I'm saying, fam? Fam. You call a nigga, tell him, get changed, some of that shit. So I'm thinking, I'm saying, you gotta have a Vic. You gotta have a victim before you take. You just can't be on Tiger. Tiger Paw don't have nothing to bone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fam, I'm telling you, don't give me this shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no Vic on the list. You know what I'm saying? I gotta deal with this pressure. You dig what I'm saying? And I start really, I'm like, man, this nigga here crazy. You know what I'm saying? Went to the studio. You know what I'm saying? He was crazy, bro. Home was really crazy, fam. I went to their studio. I was dolo. You know what I'm saying?
Dolo.
And I would just want to get some of that New York culture. But I just hung around them guys. I was observing. And Nori is the reason why I drank Pinot Grigio. Y'all met
Pinot Grigio.
I need a Nori Egio. Yeah. I need something. Come on, holla at me. Yeah. But 2 Chainz, that's what I admire about you is you're not afraid to step out your zone. What's that video you just had? You shot it on Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Oh, yeah, I'm different.
Yo, my dude, that shit epitomized who you are. It's like you different. Like, you went to Fort Lauderdale Beach on a boat. And it wasn't in the water. That was hard, my nigga. I was sitting back. Like, I'm just so proud of you because you know why? I seen your grind, and as much as I saw it, I knew I didn't have the power to help as like a Jay-Z could help or a Luda could help. And you saw the cracks in the motherfucking tunnel and where you at. I always text you, and I know you probably be proud of I know you probably be like, I'm tired of these texts, but I always be like, I'm proud of you, brother. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Because I want you to be the richest dude in the fucking world. I want you to be the illest guy in the fucking world and to keep doing it because I know that you're a real nigga. You know what I'm saying? And if I told this, like, people, like, when Fat Joe wins, I win. When 2 Chainz win, I win. It doesn't matter, my dude. I don't need nothing. I appreciate and respect what you're doing to this game. I want you to continue to do that and put your foot on their fucking neck and just keep it there. Preferably Timberlands when you do that.
That's true.
Because fuck these niggas, Chainz. Keep doing what you gotta do, man. Now, what is left for 2 Chainz? We can wrap this up.
Well, we gotta, I'm shooting a movie. I'm shooting like a.
Your movie? Or you and somebody else?
Nah, I'm shooting my movie. It'll be in the end of May. And Atlanta will take a week to do. If we don't get.
Let me be the New York grimy nigga. Let me be the New York grimy nigga in the movie.
Yeah,
let me be the New York grimy nigga that move out here.
If that don't fall through, you know,
yeah. Let me be the New York grimy nigga that come through because I can't change my accent. But go ahead, let's talk about this movie.
We got that, but it's a movie called Apartments.
And, Apartments?
No, A. Just
Apartments.
Apartments.
Okay.
That's how we said it.
I gotta be a nigga in 5E. Me, Hove, and me, Hove, and Fat Joe are all from 5E. So if you gotta.
That's hard.
We're all from 5E.
That's hard.
That's crazy. It's Illuminati. That's crazy. It's Secret Illuminati.
All right, that bitch tacky. You gotta give it to him. They gonna take it
to the Secret Illuminati.
Give it to him, nigga.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so tell me about this movie.
I got a movie coming out. Like, if you didn't get a chance to see. Walk in Your Trap and Take Over Your Trap. It was a Bankroll's film that my same team shot, put together and shot. So this was a movie that I had been writing for some time. I liked. Bankroll actually gave him a chance, and it came out hard.
Wow.
And so, you know how you just take somebody to give you a chance, and then, like, for me, sometimes I'm the one to give people a chance, and then sometimes I gotta wait and see what's going on, like everybody else. You dig what I'm saying? And
now, honest, this is a comedy or a street movie?
It's like a street. It's like the whole concept is taking place inside of an apartment complex. Okay. It's like some trials and tribulations of like everyday, like you know, kind of like showing the inner city trappings and where it really comes from. Because trapping really came from apartment complexes. You come in,
of course.
And it was before, you know, even before you had. That's why they named it trap houses, and then trap houses turned to bando. And you can just talk about how. Form, but originally a trap was an apartment complex. That was the only place that you can really trap. You go to an apartment complex even when you didn't stay there.
Right.
That's where people came. Kind of like how the Carter dictated
it. Right.
So it's like, you know, you come in, you know, earlier when I started trapping, it was a situation where you actually ran to cars. It would be 40 niggas running to one car trying to serve somebody. It got real messy, and then you started organizing the trap. You started going one at a time. No, you get the next car. Right. I get the next car. You get the next car. Not knowing what car would come in, but hoping that the next car had money. But being in a trap, you already know what cars spend money. You already know who comes. And then it went from you know, I'm from the beeper era, I'm from the payphone era, I'm from the StarTech era with the flip phone.
Let's make some noise for StarTech, guys. We need a Nori Tech, Star Tech. Okay, continue.
And so, you know, all of that, you know what I'm saying? And so, although we won't give that whole... you know, the whole history of trapping, we're going to show you some, you know, a good storyline.
Yo, I'm not going to lie. This is horrible. Whatever noise that is, it's the ice machine. I knew it was.
I'm going to need some for this drinking.
Oh, you need some ice?
And so it has a great storyline. It's going to have some comedy in it because I enjoy comedy.
Please.
Yeah, and it's coming out. And so I'm doing music and soundtrack.
I'm going to harass Tech. So
cool.
Go ahead.
So I'm doing music and I'm doing some soundtrack stuff for it right now because I'm thinking ahead. And then I'm also doing another album this year. So Collie Grove is out right now. It's my dedication to my friend, my brother, one of my favorite rappers, Lil Wayne. Make sure you get that Collie Grove.
That's
and
right.
And then my next album and film. Will be dropping this year, so be looking out for. And then CEO, make sure you get CEOMillionaires.com. Look that up.
CEOMillionaires.com.
Also, Strip Club Veterans is my other line that I'll be launching May 1st. Strip Club Veterans.
And I can wear one of those shirts.
I got one for you.
All right, cool.
Got one for you. And Trapavelli is the store.
That's a store.
It's on Peter Street. That's my pop up store.
Right. And we got 3 million niggas listening. 2 Chainz, keep your eyes out. I don't know. I'm lying.
Nah. I don't know. Like I was gonna look at the paperwork and make sure.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I don't care. 4 people listening. I appreciate everybody listening.
Nah, thank you.
I really thank you, man. And we really need that movie because you know why? Let me just tell y'all something. Like, South, the West, the East, there's no motherfucking difference. Only difference is some people speak like this, some people don't, right? Mm-hmm. But Bout It was single-handedly the first time New York people was like, the South is crazy. Yeah. So is it like a Bout It, this movie you talking about? Or it's like...
With Bout It, it moved the culture because it showed the accent, it showed how they moved to New Orleans.
Yeah.
It was good for the culture. And in Atlanta, it'd be cool, too. Everybody know that we... You know, break a lot of our words.
Nobody showed the real Atlanta,
and that's important for me. You know what I'm
nobody
saying?
Nobody showed the real Atlanta.
That's why I mean. That's why I told you apartments because no one ever said apartments in Atlanta.
That's hard.
Ever.
Apartments.
And just like we stayed in front of apartment.
Alright, we spreading the rumor right now. Apartments.
We front apartment.
NRE is in there. I don't know what I'm the janitor. I don't know if I'm the New York Puerto Rican guy.
Me in the apartment.
Yeah. Come on. But let's make noise for 2 Chainz, motherfucker. Hold on. I can't thank you enough, my brother. At the end of the day, you really didn't have to do this. You was doing $1 million shit, shooting 6 videos with Lil Wayne, taking your part out, and looking at the most beautifulest women in the world, Beyonce, to perform. And you still stopped, and you had Tech call, you had yourself call. You was so down with this, and I really appreciate that because at the end of the day, this is where the artists win. When a DJ comes on here, they win. This is, and people who want to come on this show, I'm being 100% honest. Yes, I have favoritism. Mm. And I'm interviewing the people that I want to interview. We're high five EFN. We interviewing legends.
Or EFN, we interview too.
There's a lot of legends out there, but guess what? I want to interview the legends that I fuck with, that I talk to, and I got so many of them. And I just want to thank you for being a great sport. You let me ask you any question. You ain't stop me. You ain't be like, I ain't going to talk about that. And I just want to thank you because you're a real nigga, and I see that activist is working. It is fantastic.
All right.
So describe the activist high before we leave. What does it do for you?
It's right there.
Yeah. It's great. There you go, right there. There you go, right there. I wanted to gas him to take a shot. Who did I gas? I almost gassed Karis wanted to smoke with me.
Yeah, you got
I almost gassed.
But he drank Tiger Bowl.
He did. Yeah, I got Karis.
And drank Mad Mai Tai.
Yo, listen, Karis. Listen, I love Karis.
Right? Still doing that shit,
yo, I had a Tiger. Listen,
are you still doing
Karis? Stopped sweating from his neck. Like, yo, when you neck sweat, you know you fucked up. Like, his neck started sweating. I was like, Chris, you gotta go. I gave, because I know, like, if your neck sweat, you've drunk. 2 Chainz, once again, EFN. Thank you for having another great podcast. Everybody that's in the building, let's make some noise. Hold on. Let's make some noise because I'm declaring that this is the new king of the South. There's no disrespect to anybody else that claimed that, from T.I. to whatever. I'm saying he's the new king of the South based on consistency, based on features, based on hits, based on activity, based on progress. To me, this is the new king of the South. And this is our first Just South person. Remember, we had Gunplay, but we had him with Capone. Yeah. This is our first South edition. So if you from down South and you don't download this and you don't subscribe this, we're going to shave you all over. One love, everybody. Drink Chats Podcast is going down. 2 Chainz, thank you for joining us. Tech, we love you, baby. I need to be in that movie. I'm dead serious. I'm going to be texting you, and it's going down. Hazardous Sounds. What? Yo, Chainz, thank you so much.
Find all your favorite movies and shows faster with Xfinity. Just speak into the X1 voice remote to search across live TV, on demand, even Netflix and Prime Video. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity today and get a great offer. You'll enjoy Xfinity X1, which gives you access to your favorite streaming apps like Netflix, YouTube, and now Prime Video. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.